Hierdie inset word aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.
Baie welkom by Oppad met Joma. Altyd lekker om saam met jou te kuier. En vandag gaan ons so ver hy nie, net tot so neffe die lughawe, op die punt. Daar gaan ons die mense van Blikkiesdorp leer ken. Na afloop van die musiek, vertel ek jou verder. Hierdie verhaal van my vandag het so 'n bietjie van 'n storie. Dit het begin 'n paar weke terug, toe ek 'n uitnodiging ontvang het om 'n glansryke geleentheid in die waterfront by te woon van Samaritan's Feet. Met die verskil, jy moes kaalvoet kom. Dadelik het ek gedink is baie interessant. En ja, hier stap ek toe by die geleentheid aan kaalvoetjies. Ek was gelukkig nie die enigste een daar nie, inteendeel. As jy 'n paar skoene sou dra, sou jy eintlik baie ongemaklik gevoel het. Want almal het ingekoop in hierdie wonderlike konsep. 'N luisterryke aand, gevul met baie stories en natuurlik ons MC, Bruiten Paulsen. En wat ek ook daar geleer het en die geleentheid gehad het om mee te gesels, is die Blitsbokke. Hulle is die afgelope paar jaar al die brand ambassadors, en verskoon nou maar die Engels, vir hierdie spesifieke organisasie. En verneem ek later, het hulle blykbaar by een van die oorhandigings kaalvoete daar gestaan, tot almal se verbasing. En later het almal daarna verwys, en was dit nie 'n wonderlike geleentheid waar hulle kon vertel waarom hulle dit doen nie, en waarvoor hulle staan as brand ambassadors nie. Ag, ek het so 'n trots gevoel toe ek dit hoor. Maar nou wil ek jou innooi, kom, ons gaan nou saam daai glansgeleentheid bywoon. En daarna gaan ons nou na Blikkiesdorp toe. Van daardie aand het ek vir hulle gesê, ek wil saam gaan wanneer hulle hulle volgende uitreik het. En ja, hier is die uitreik nou, en ons gaan vandag voete was in Blikkiesdorp. Maar eers die luisterlike geleentheid, en dan begin ons sommer daar op die voorstoep van Blikkiesdorp.
Bruiten Paulsen, wonderlik om met jou te gesels. Samaritan's Feet lê jou na in die hart. Waarom?
In Suid-Afrika natuurlik was daar baie nood. Baie nood vir, jy weet, mense wat ongelukkig nie so bevoorreg is soos baie van ons nie. En ek kom op, you know, op 'n mate uit van my omstandighede af. So baie mense het van ander beskil gemaak om natuurlik finansieel te kan help. Maar nie net dit te doen nie, maar om ook hierdie hele ervaring met dit, wanneer hulle die soorte visies doen, om die kinders voete te gaan was en hulle 'n bietjie hoop te gee en inspireer. En ons het ons gehoor vanaand hoe wonderlik hierdie organisasie die weg vind om ondersteuning te kry vir so baie kids. En selfs ouer mense ook, jy weet, wat dan nooit vir hulle skoene besoek nie. So hierdie is my baie baie spesiaal, en ek is baie bevoorreg om betrokke te kan wees om net, jy weet, 'n verskil te kan maak vir al die kids se lewe. Die rural gedeeltes van Suid-Afrika, daar gaan het regtig gaan boos daar sy, en ons moet allemaal net bystaan om elkaar te help en van ek iets te kan red.
Wat denk jy van die nieuwe skoen wat bekend gestel is?
Ja, dit is fantastisch.
Ek hou daarvan.
Ja, dit is 'n groot initiatief, en ek dink hulle het baie goeie werk gedoen, natuurlijk het daar baie technologie achter die skerms ingegaan, so dit is wonderlik, dit lyk ook baie cool en funky.
Ja,
jy weet, ek is wel baie, we gaan liefst daarvoor, jy weet. En,
ek het vir al die seers van dit like.
Absoluut, gaan dit like, ja, so ek dink is baie fashionable ook, jy weet, en kids van vandag wil al wil fashionable wees, so dit is fantastisch.
En jy weet wat, mens hoef nie geld te om fashion te bewees, en dit is wat Samaritan's Feet ook hiermee stimuleer. Baie dankie vir jou deel, maar dankie vir jou mentorskap, en dankie dat jy ook so goeie inspirasie is vir ons mense daar buite. Ons waardeer jou.
Groot besiek.
James Murphy, we're privileged to have you guys. You're the ambassadors, the Blitzbokke, and you guys were here. You're true ambassadors for South Africa, and you're making us proud. Being involved and being the ambassadors for Samaritan's Feet, it's really special to us. What does that mean to you as a team?
Well, to us as a team, I mentioned it earlier, one of our biggest team mottos and team cultures is inspiring hope. So I think at any opportunity we get to do that, we want to do that. And I think Samaritan's Feet gives us that platform to give back in something we believe in. And I think, yeah, it's been almost 4 years now, nearly going on, that the Blitzbokke have been involved with Samaritan's Feet. And, yeah, as I said, any opportunity to give back and inspire hope. And, I mean, just hearing what you're saying about people looking at us in certain ways, that's, again, ticking the box of inspiring hope and being able to do things off the field, not just on the field.
It's tough going out there representing your country. How do you guys manage?
Yeah, you know, so it's obviously very tough. I know we lost the home tournament recently, and I don't wish that on any team. But I think for me personally, and I think our team is built on religious values, but ultimately it boils down to those values you rely on and the constants. And I think for us, pride ourselves on personal standards. So we can be disappointed in ourselves if we didn't meet personal standards, because we link those up with national standards and what people think of the team and as all from outside in approach. But we try to keep it inside the inner circle. So you will have disappointments in life. You will always, the wind will always blow against you. And yeah, we just hang tight together, stay tight. We focus on what our values stand for. You know, our job is out there to inspire hope.
Hermine Lou, jy staan aan stuur van Samaritan Speed hier in Suid-Afrika. Ons is 'n wonderlike geleentheid hier vandag waar ons vir die kinders bederf met skoene. En dankie dat ek hier mag wees om dit saam met julle te doen. Vertel my gou, wat gaan vandag alles gebeur?
Dankie, Gilma. Ag, dit is altyd vir ons so lekker as mense saam met ons kom, want dit is daai ervaring aan jou hart wat jy nie kan verduidelik nie. Jy moet dit self beleef. So ons is nou vandag van Samaritan's Feet Suid-Afrika. Ons is bevoorreg want ons is die stigter van Samaritan's Feet International, Manny Ohomi. Het ons hier by ons en hy het sopas sy storie vertel aan al die kinders. So wat ons doen is ons doen drie goed. Ons sit by elke kind en ons kyk vir hulle in hulle oë. En ons gee vir hulle 'n nuwe paar skoene nadat ons hulle voetjies gewas het om vir hulle te sê jou drome en jy is waardevol en jy kan die pad vorentoe stap met hierdie nuwe paar skoene om te weet dat elke besluit, elke dingetjie wat jy doen, elke droom wat jy droom, het waarde en jy kan vorentoe beweeg. So ons gee eintlik, ons sê altyd ons is in die besigheid van hoop. Ons gee hoop en ons werk graag saam met ander organisasies en kerke en besighede wat in 'n gemeenskap werksaam is op 'n daaglikse basis. Sodat ons nie net kom en skoene afgee nie. Ons kom, ons praat met die kinders, ons konnekteer met daai kinders en ons kan dan vir die mense wat bly en op 'n daaglikse basis met hulle werk en saam met hulle bly, kan dan daai pad voortstap met hulle. En vandag is ons hier soos wat hulle nou gesê het, is nie Blikkiesdorp nie, dis Platinum City, want die mense hier het waarde.
Ek hou van jou uitgangspunt. Hoeveel kindertjies is hier wat jy hulle voorskoene gee?
Vandag is hier so ongeveer 100 kinders. Hulle is almal onder die ouderdom van so 6, 7 jaar oud. Maar dit wissel. Ons gaan na skole toe van die Early Development Centers toe. Ons gaan na skole toe waar hulle skoolskoene kry. Ons doen partykeer ook sportspanne en ook ouer mense. So afhangend van wat die behoefte is, gaan ons na daai organisasies toe.
Nou die hele proses hier, waar kom die skoene vandaan, waar kry julle dit vanaf en dan die hele proses om dit tot hier te bring?
Samaritan's Feet International is die oorspronklike stichting, maar elke land waar daar Samaritan's Feet is, werk ons ook onafhanklik. So ons het ons eie board of trustees, ons is geregistreerde nie regeringsorganisasie en die winsgewende organisasie. So ons is verantwoordelik vir ons eie fondse en die spanne wat uitgestuur word. So partykeer laat ons skoene invoer vanaf Amerika, want hulle het 'n groot voorraad wat hulle vir ons dan ook kan deurstuur. En dan partykeer het ons ook skenkings wat ons dan ontvang by van die besighede hier. Ons het donasies nodig wat ons dan gebruik om skoene aan te koop. So elke situasie het maar sy eie proses. Ons mik om vir 2023 na 23,000 pare skoene te versprei. Met die skoene wil ons dan ook by die volonteërs in daai gemeenskappe uitkom. In die Wes-Kaap self is daar 23 munisipale distrikte en ons wil by daai elkeen van daai distrikte uitkom sodat ons kan weet die Wes-Kaap is hulle kan voortgaan volgende jaar en die jaar daarna en ons wil ook die res van Suid-Afrika bereik. So die skoene kry ons deur organisasies, deur skenkings, deur besighede en dan voer ons ook in soos nodig.
Nou hier is 'n verskeidenheid skoene. Ek het 'n foto ook wat ek vir jou wat saam met my op pad met Gilma vandag hier in Blikkiesdorp kuier, het ons nou ook 'n foto geneem van die verskillende soorte skoene. Wat soort skoene is dit?
Van die skoene is wat ons nou ingevoer het, daai swart skoentjies wat ons het. Ander skoene het ons gaan aankoop. Vandag was nou eintlik 'n interessante situasie want ons sou Samaritan's Feet International is op pad om 'n uitsending tour te doen van die Kaap tot Karoo. So ons gaan nou van hier af ry ons na deur Hermanus, Oudtshoorn, Prins Albert, Maartjiesfontein, dan kom hulle weer terug Kaap toe. En hulle het as deel van hulle bydra tot die tour, het hulle die sakke met skoene gepak vir elke distribusie area. En toe word hulle vlugte vertraag gisternag. En ons moes nou skielik 'n plan maak, so ons het nou van die skoene verskillende plekke en ons het gaan aankoop met van die donasies wat ons reeds ontvang het. So dis hoekom daar 'n groot verskeidenheid van skoene is. Dis op die oomblik somer, so dit is lekker ligte sandaaltjies en plakkies en sulke tipe skoene. As dit 'n sportspan is, dan sal ons nou weer gaan kyk na tekkies en sportskoene. En dan het ons nou, dis eintlik verskriklik opwindend, 'n skoen wat ontwerp is deur die World Shoe organisasie. Hulle het nou die skoen ontwerp met wat antimicrobials in het, wat basis indien daar enige infeksies of iets is wat by die voetjie is, dan kan hy dit teewerk. En dan is dit ook baie degradable, so dit is ook nou omgewingsvriendelik. So hy het so 'n dubbele doel. En hy is spesiaal ontwerp dat hy maklik aantrek, maklik aan die voet sit. En besig op die oomblik met onderhandelinge in Ghana om daar te begin. En dan wil ons graag voor die einde van volgende jaar met 'n distribusiesentrum in Suid-Afrika begin om daai World Shoe van hier af te versprei. En dan nou, as ons nou hier 'n distribusiesentrum wil ons kyk of ons dit hierso kan vervaardig. So die produk is daar. Ons wil nou net kyk of ons Suid-Afrika kan basies daai geleenthede skep vir mense om dit van hier af dan te versprei vir die suide van Suid-Afrika. So ja, dit is die opwindende vooruitsig wat voorlê, maar op hierdie stadium is dit ja, die aankoop en die invoer van verskillende tipe skoene.
Dit kom vir my duidelik voor dat rolspelers en mense wat inkoop in die organisasie 'n belangrike deel is ook van julle voortbestaan en om regtig 'n verskil in mense se lewens te maak. Hoe kan ons mense betrokke kry? Hoe kan hulle julle kontak?
Daar's 'n uitdrukking wat sê it takes a village to raise a child en dit is absoluut wat ons ook elke dag ervaar en ek dink niemand moet dink ek het nie 'n vaardigheid of die geld of die vermoë om te doen wat hulle doen nie en ons wil almal betrek op 'n manier. So of jy nou vir ons bid en of jy nou vir ons finansies gee en of jy vir ons 'n groot distribusie warehouse gee, jy's welkom. Die mense kan by ons betrokke raak. Hulle kan vir my kontak op info@samaritansfeed.co.za. Hulle kan ook op ons social media platforms mooi kyk, dit is Samaritans Feed SA. So ons is baie spesifiek Suid-Afrika en op daai manier kan hulle ons nou in die hande kry om te sê maar wat kan ek doen? Hoe kan ek betrokke wees? Hoe kan ek my besigheid betrokke kry? Hoe kan ons julle corporate social investment partners maak? Kom saam, kom doen 'n distribusie saam met ons. Dit is daar waar jy sien maar dis nie altyd die kind noodwendig wat aangespreek word nie, dis ek wat aangespreek word en is my hoop wat ek weer vir die toekoms het. As jy in daai vrolike oogies kyk en jy sê, ten spyte van die omstandighede, is daar 'n liggie wat brand in daai hartjie en jy wil dit graag laat voortbrand.
Maar wanneer ons kyk na jou as mens, die Here het jou vir 'n spesifieke taak geroep en jou pad het sy draaie gemaak om te kom tot hier.
Ja, nee, verseker. Ek spot altyd, ek sê, ek doen nou waaroor ek geterg is op skool. Ek het klein oortjies en groot voete. So nou was ek ander kindertjies se voete en ek se audioloog, so ek het so verskillende komponente wat bydra. En ek moet vir jou eerlikwaar sê, kom party daar dink jy, regtig? Sit die pad wat ek stap en dan besef jy net, ja, dit is asof jy amper half nie 'n keuse het nie. Jy doen wat jy doen op 'n daaglikse basis en jy doen dit met vreugde en jy doen dit op jou knieë en jy besef ook dat as ma wil jy tog elke dag vir jou kind die beste gee en die meeste geleenthede gee. En so daarom is dit ook dat ons help ook die ouers in die omgewing om te besef maar my kind se gesondheid is belangrik, sy opvoeding is belangrik, sy die pad wat hy vorentoe stap is belangrik want jy wil eintlik vorentoe sit en net nog beter geleenthede gee. So ja, sê dikwels ons is die bevoorregtes wat die drukkies kom kry as ons uitgaan na die kinders.
Hoe het hierdie organisasie, hoe het jy betrokke geraak hierby?
Ek het so 4-5 jaar gelede toe ek eendag so gesit in 'n koffie shop en ek het my Excel mooi voor my oop gehad met die jaar en die kinders se skedules is alles daarin en ek dink toe by myself, en ek? En toe het 'n vriendin vir my gekontak en gesê maar swaar is betrokke by sy marathon speed en hy soek iemand wat hom kan help net met die distribusies van die skoene en so aan. En ek het vir Willem RW gekontak en hy het gesê nee, dis reg, hier is ons, kom help. En so het geleidelik geword en net meer en meer tussen distribusies en tussen die geleenthede wat opkom en so die werksgeleenthede net meer geraak en opgestap. En so was ek saamgewerk met baie goeie leiers. Ons het, dit is nou so 5 jaar, so dis by Johan Koringhof, Ilani Fourie was verlede jaar die CEO van Samaritan Speed. En einde verlede jaar het sy gesê, maar hulle as gesin het 'n ander fase wat hulle binne gaan, of ek daai rol sal oorneem. En ek het gesê, ek sal dit oorneem, maar ek moet 'n hele span saam met my even saamkom. I don't think, do things alone. So ja, en op daai manier het ek toe nou fantasties wonderlike mense gekry, wat weer eens gesê het, maar ek kan hier doen, of ek het hier, ek het my werk verloor, of ek wil graag betrokke raak, om meer te gee van wat ek nou al ervaar het. En so het ons 'n hele span by mekaar gekry. Almal is deeltyds Samaritan's Feet betrokke, maar as hulle weet hoeveel werk Manny het vir volgende jaar, los hulle alles en hulle kom help met Samaritan's Feet. So ons droom groot, maar ja, dit is 'n pad wat mens stap en dit is altyd interessant as mens so terugdink oor die pad wat die Here met jou stap. Ja, jy kan dit nie visualiseer nie. So dis nou 5 jaar later, ek's by 2 verskillende organisasies betrokke, ek doen 'n derde werk, maar ons doen dit voluit.
Hoe groot is jou span?
Op die oomblik het ons vir Mariet wat help met die fondsinsameling. Ons het vir Jean Marie wat help met die sosiale media. Hulle het vir my gesê ek moet iemand funky kry wat sosiale media doen. Toe kry ek my iemand wat my tannie noem, want ek is die funkieste wat ek kon dink. Ons het vir Ivy wat vir ons help met die organisering en die uitsorteer van die skoene in die store. En dan het ons vir Madri wat ook betrokke is by 'n ander organisasie, Youth for Life. En sy is die groot dromer en distribusie en connector met al die mense in die gemeenskap. So ja, ons is 'n span nou van 5 plus dan ons board wat op verskillende maniere ook betrokke is daarso om te help met die media en te help met die geleenthede wat ons skep. Ons het die Blitsbokke is een van ons ambassadors groepe en hulle het ook al saam met ons kom distribusies doen. So ja, elke een lewer 'n bydrae.
Jou laaste gedagte wat jy sou wil laat by mense wat nou vir die eerste keer vandag inskakel en hoor van Samaritan's Feet SA.
Ja, ek dink, ons moet maar net allemaal self dink en dink, jy hoef nie ver op ver sendingvelde te gaan nie, as jy geroep word daarvoor doen dit, maar begin hier by jou eie huis. Ek wil selfs mense sê, gaan sit vandag by jou eie kinders, by jou eie gesin, en gaan was hulle voete, kyk hulle in die oë en sê vir hulle, jy is my belangrik, en besef daai koneksie wat dan plaasvind tussen jou en jou familie. En van daar af kan jy dit uitbrei en kry jou kinders betrokke, kry almal deel om te sien, maar ons kan 'n beter Suid-Afrika skep deur daar vir mekaar te wees, eerder as om mekaar se maniere te kritiseer en teë te gaan. So asseblief kontak my, gesels met my. Ek is baie lief daarvoor om met mense te gesels en net sommer te hoor wat hulle gevoelens en idees en voorstelle ook is.
Die Here loop 'n pad met jou en jy ontdek goed omtrent jouself wat jy nooit geweet het nie.
Verseker, dit is net daai bewustheid van elke keer as jy dink dit gaan rof, die Here breek deur. En ons het nie die volle prentjie op hierdie stadium nie. Ons weet ons is in goeie hande, die Here se hande en hy sal dinge ten goede laat meewerk en ek dink dit is partykeer word uit konteks uitgeruk van alles werk ten goede mee. Nie noodwendig ten opsigte van finansiële omstandighede nie, maar ons is tydelik op aarde en ons werk aan die groter koninkryk en ons is partykeer so vasgevang in die hier en die nou. En ek dink dis deel van wat is hoop. Daai jy hoop op iets wat jy nie sien nie. En ons gaan nie noodwendig nou die ewigheid sien in sy volle glorie nie, maar dit wat ons nou kan doen is deel om te bou daaraan en dit groter uit te brei. Ons is instrumente in die Here se hande.
Baie dankie, baie seën en ek kan nie wag om self 'n paar voetjies te was nie.
Nee, verseker, jy gaan dit gaan net vir jou aanraak.
Vandag is 'n baie spesiale dag want ons is in Blikkiesdorp en ons deel vir die kinders skoene uit. Nie net vir die kinders, nie, is 'n paar volwassenes ook wat skoene gaan kry want die skoen grootes word gepas en gemeet en sodoende maak ons seker dat almal wat in 'n skoennommer pas ook geholpe raak aan die einde van die dag. En ek wil net ook vir jou nooi dat indien jy van jou
wil laat hoor en nee, ons moet jou kom besoek, stuur die e-pos aan gilma@kypulpit.co.za. Hierdie program word dan nou uitgesaai tussen 1 en 3 op 'n Vrydag en dan word hierdie programme altyd herhaal op 'n Sondag tussen 1 en 3. Daarna word dit op potgooie gesit. So dan kan jy dit veel kere as wat jy wil ook aflaai en dit sal jy kry by www.kypulpit.co.za. Maar kom ons reis verder. Ons is in Blikkiesdorp, saam met Samaritan's Feet.
Annie Ohomo, you are from the Samaritan's Feet International, American gentleman in Opat met Gilma, and we're here in Blikkiesdorp, and we're here to celebrate this wonderful occasion, and to have you here, all the way from America, to tell me what this whole initiative is about, is so valuable. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh no, I'm so blessed. I mean, just being back in South Africa is always like coming back home, especially for a kid that was born in Nigeria. I went to America over 30-something years ago to play basketball, and it's just amazing. As I walk through here and I see many of these children, it brings me back so far to when I grew up in Nigeria, a kid with no shoes. I used to wake up every day and say, God, give me 001. That means no breakfast, no lunch. At least give me supper so I can make it to the next day. And you think about the age of 9, I was that kid that used to sell water and soft drinks at parks. I'm blessed to go do that, and one day this missionary were there to teach African children how to play basketball. And showing up there and seeing that just the heart of where they play, and I want to join them, but because I was a street kid, they shooed me away. And how Providence would have one of the balls came around the corner, and I quickly grabbed it and I snuck in and joined them. So they dribbled them past the ball. And the missionary said, we're going to have a shooting competition. He said, the prize for the winner is going to be a new pair of shoes. I ended up winning the competition, becoming the first person in my entire community to own a pair of tennis shoes. It was crazy. This guy called me to the front, give me this shoe I was going to take off, and he grabbed me by my shoulder. He said, son, just because all you see around you is poverty doesn't mean that God of the universe forgotten about you. Ooh. He said, keep dreaming and keep dreaming big. I took off so fast I forgot my basket of soft drinks and water until I showed up at home. My mama said, where's my soft drink and water? I said, mama, check out my shoes. It was such a special thing. And I started playing basketball, eventually going to America on a basketball scholarship. And it's crazy to think about what happened there over 40-something years ago. Give me an opportunity, one, to go play sports. Get my undergrad, get my master's, got this technology business, was blessed. And then my father, because of some of the choices that some people in this community make, he struggled with alcohol, he struggled with a lot of things, and end up getting diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver, and eventually passing away. And I'd go to Africa to bury him, but the blessing is 2 weeks before he passed away, he came to know Christ as his Savior. And it was pretty amazing. So I went back, I forgot how poor I was, and after being gone for about 10 years, and I walked into my house, and I couldn't even use the bathroom. It was so hard, I had to go across the street to the park. And the reality was, when I came out, I saw these children with no shoes and with no hope. And I said, what if I can start coming to help children just like this and inspire them to dream big dreams too? And 5 years later, my wife and I stepped out of our corporate world to start Samaritan's Feet with a vision to put shoes in the feet of 10 million children. I said, we just know we're going to just pass our shoes, but we want to go there and wash their feet and bandage their wound and invite them to know the creator of the universe and encourage them to go to school and go advocate for peace. And it's crazy. It's in the last 19, almost 20 years, we've now served over 9.1 million people in over 109 countries. For a kid that didn't have shoes, we now manufacture our own shoes. And the reason why I was actually in Ghana is we're looking about the prospect of setting up our first manufacturing facility in West Africa, with hopes in the next 5 years to set up one in Rwanda, hopefully one here in South Africa as well. So dreams do come true when God is on the throne, when God is directing your path, and you are always in tune with the reality that you were created for a purpose, something much bigger than you. And that's the joy of Samaritan's.
And to have you here back here in Blikkiesdorp, one of the most needed communities in Cape Town. So many things are happening here, good things. And as I was driving in trying to find my way, I said, hi, where? And she said, no, at the church, at the community center, my child is there too. And I could see the brightness. And people look at shoes and they think, oh, well, shoes. These are special shoes. It's not just ordinary shoes. And you are working on a new model as well.
That's right. Well, you know, the reality is most parts of the world, kids can't go to school without shoes. And shoes, you know, for us in most of the Western world, it's a symbol of, you know, fashion. It's something really cool. But to many people around the world, it's actually their primary mode of transportation. You know, I learned a while ago through the World Health Organization that over 1 billion people in the world were infected with diseases that comes into the feet because they don't have shoes. A simple laceration can become a death sentence. So we invented this world shoe about almost 5 years and 6 years ago in the United States with a vision to have a shoe that has an active disease-fighting antimicrobial embedded into the shoe, and also to be eco-friendly. Like you can see when you walk around, you see all these plastics and different things. We want to make sure this shoe at the end of the shelf life is also biodegradable. So when you bury it in the ground, 15 years later, it turns to dirt. We wanted an innovation that we would be very proud of. And that shoe right now has been made in the United States. The next generation of the shoes, we want to be made in Africa. We want Africa to take care of Africa, because the reality is, one of the things we've learned is that the issue of this, what they call neglected tropical diseases, it's actually an issue of the poor, poverty. So how do we disrupt that poverty? Poverty creates bad hygiene. Bad hygiene creates all these crazy diseases and infections that come to your body, which means you can't work. When you can't work, you start a cycle again.
It's like, yeah, it's like just cycle. Getting back into it.
You know, so we, how do we disrupt that? Whoever thought a pair of shoes can be a disrupting strategy? And you now disrupted almost 10 million. We're going to serve a 10 million person. Most people don't realize the first shoe distribution we ever did at Samaritan Street was done in Mitchell's Plains right here in Cape Town, South Africa, about 19 years ago. And now we're looking at, when we come back next year for our 20th year, we want to serve a 10 million person, hopefully in Mitchell's Plains. So we can remind those children that dreams don't come true. Who knows? Maybe some of those kids, just like I was in Nigeria, you'd be the future Speaker of the House here in South Africa. Maybe they may be the future president. Maybe they may be future, you know, the governor, whoever they are. But the reality is, these are kids with potential. And we speak hope into their life. We speak purpose in their life. And we remind them they are here not by accident. Yes, we use shoes as the vehicle to help activate that hope. But the reality is, we also encourage them to go to school. So that's the beauty of what we do.
It's like a secondary message of the hope of Christ, the importance of faith in your journey.
It's pretty powerful, because I'm here today because of the power of what God has done. Because you can't speak about my story without talking about the power of God. You know, I was born into a first generation Christian family. My mom was the first ever Christian in my family tree. Think about it, when I was a little kid, you know, like I used to go to my mom sometime and say, "Mom, you know, does God hear our prayers? Why do we have to be so poor?" And my mom was so wise. She would take me by this little window by my house, and she said, "Son, look outside." And say, "What do you see?" And I'll look outside, and I said, "Mama, I see trees." "No, son, no, look higher and tell me what you see." And I said, "Mama, I see the birds." "No, son, you're not looking high. No, look much higher. And then report to me and tell me what you see." And I'll look up, I said, "Mama, I see the clouds." And then she said, "Son, you ever wonder why God created the sky so high?" And I said, "I don't know, Mama." And then she was just so poor voice, like you can dream. Real high. I said, "Never make excuse for life." He said, "Just because today may be a bad day or a crazy day doesn't mean tomorrow ain't going to be a great day. But as long as my God is on the throne," he said, "you can do all things through him who gives you strength." And she always has a way to help inject hope and faith into my situation, because my father was tough. Because every single time when he gets drunk, guess who he took it out of? It was me. And he'll call me mean and evil things and say, "I'll never amount to this." But my mom would always come behind him and put her hands on my head. And she was saying, "The name that's above every other name, Jesus, would you revert whatever curse this man puts on my son? Because my God has promised that my son can do all things." Yeah. So when I look at what God has done in my life, you know, about a year and a half ago, I was blessed to receive the Pontifical Hero Award from the Vatican. And like, that's the Nobel Peace Prize. I remember 3 years ago walking in the Pope's home saying, "This is this kid that used to sell water in Nigeria." And then this year, about a month ago, I just received the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award in the United States from, you know, President Bill Biden. You know, like, so just think about what the potential can come when you believe that there's a God that has a plan for you, that created you for a purpose, that's working with you. All you need is just to have faith and believe in him and dream. And make sure your dream is big enough that other people can also join you. Because I remember when telling my friends almost 20 years ago that I want to go put shoes in the feet of 10 million people, they said, "This guy's gone crazy." You know what 10 million is? And you're going to wash their feet? And you're going to do this? And now I look back. Next year, 10 million is just around the corner. And think about the reality that we've got the chance to serve 10 million people. And now, if we count the people we've also inspired, now we have charities that's now started doing shoes around the world that we don't even count as part of our own outcome. So if we were to count all those people that's now been inspired, we encourage you to go start this, over 30 million people have an impact worldwide. But that's where it begins. It begins with a seed of faith, a seed of an idea. And that seed is a powerful thing. When it hits the ground and it's cultivated and the water gets worked, and all of a sudden the shoots start coming out, and then God breathes on it. Who knows what God can do? And that's the power of faith.
You inspire me just listening to you. But you know what is very special to me is the whole way of presenting these shoes.
you know, it's powerful. I mean, we do it for two reasons. One, because it's a health reason. The UNICEF said if you can encourage children and people to wash their hands and wash their feet, you can prevent over 70% of bacteria and bad things to come into your body. But we also had a great teacher. He's the son of a Jewish carpenter. And I remember when I read in his word, he said, you know, the day before he left this world, he put around himself a nice little towel, and he took all his disciples by his side. And one by one, he washed his feet. And he said, if you do this, you'll be blessed. And it's one of the most powerful display of what a servant leader is. And when we figured this is what we were called to do, we knew we were called to be Samaritans. Because a Samaritan is somebody that sees a need and don't walk past that need. He taught us that example. So we created this, all this, based on the teachings that he taught us, that we need to be Samaritans because we need to know who our neighbors are. And who are our neighbors? Our neighbors now, over almost 10 million people in about 109 countries. But he said, when we sit in front of them, we want to do what our masters taught us. We want to wash their feet. We want to look in the eye and know their names. Ask them their dream and encourage them to go do likewise. Because that's the power of hope. Because hope is not something that we hold on to. It's given away. And I always tell people, see, in life, you know, God will allow our situation, you know, as long as it's aligned with his will, to come to pass. But when you hit, you know, that top of what you consider success, always remember to send down the elevator. Because there's somebody else that's waiting for you to fulfill that which God is promised to do. Because God doesn't, you know, his principles is he uses people to accomplish his purpose. We are his instrument. We are his hands. And who knows who God allows us to touch. And through that process, who ever thought some guy giving shoes will be able to unite countries? Who ever thought some guy washing people's feet will be able to work with the Hutus and Tutsis? Who ever thought some guy that used to sell war in Africa would be the kid in the United States working with police and communities that are in conflict? That shows the power of God. Because God has promised us. Jesus Christ said, if my people can be one, you know, because how will you know that you're my disciple when you show love to one another? What more powerful way to display love when you can humble yourself and wash their feet? You become the servant. Now they look down at you and you can look up at them and they say, why are you doing this? Because I love you. And my God has commanded me to serve, because true service to others emancipates us from the dungeon of our own self.
I'm really thankful for your time today. Your word of encouragement to us here in South Africa.
You know, it's to dream. You know, a friend of mine told me a long time ago, the worst thing that can ever happen to humanity isn't death, but it's a life that's lived without purpose. Be purposeful in all you do. Wake up every single day and ask yourself, what can I do to help make the world of somebody around me better? And you may not be super wealthy from a financial perspective, but the greatest wealth we have is the love that God has put in us. We've been given a gift. We've given a talent. Figure out what that gift is and give it to others. And I promise you this world will be better.
Amen. Thank you. Let's go inside and go and wash some feet.
Thank you.
Ja, ons is nou hier in Blikkiesdorp, soos ek gesê het, en ek het self ook 'n paar voete gewas, maar wat 'n wonderlike ervaring. Bietjie raserig, so mens kan nie regtig so lekker met die kinders gesels nie. Maar dit maak ook nie saak nie, want die Here is hier, glo my. En hy sien en hoor ons harte, en hy ken die kinders se begeertes. Maar toe het ek nou gegaan, terwyl ons hier sit, en ek het met 'n paar van die rolspelers hier gesels, wat gehelp het om hierdie dag moontlik te maak met borgskap, en toe het ek sommer so oorgeleen en met een van die medevoedewassers, so 13-jarige meisiekie, te gesels en net so 'n bietjie meer te hoor van wie sy is en hoe sy hier beland het. Pragtige jong meisie. En dan moet ons seker net hoor ook, hoe voel ons kinders oor hulle paarskoene, nê?
Sally Rowe, thank you so much for allowing me to chat to you today. You have a very special affiliation here. What is your journey with Samaritan's Feet?
I haven't had a long journey with them, but we taught Mariette's daughter, who is now 11 years old, and Mariette told us about Samaritans, and we thought that it was really a very worthy cause. And I'm glad that we have been able to help, because every child is treading a path through life to the future. And if we can help those feet go more easily, well, that is a good thing.
Being a principal, you're speaking from the heart, and you know the importance of people feeling worthy.
Absolutely, yes. Worth and the ability to go forward and to be resilient and positive and to give. in life.
You've also been a sponsor today to help make things possible, and you're also washing children's feet and putting new shoes on. What was the experience like for you?
It was not as exciting as I thought it would be, because I often couldn't hear them. It was very loud, but some of the children I really did manage to connect with, and they were very sweet, and I could see that they were really delighted to be getting these new shoes and this hope for the future.
How can a small gesture like this, and you have seen it in your school, how can it change a person's life about himself and about his future?
I think that poor self-esteem is one of the major maladies of our time, maybe always has been, and every little gesture of goodness and help like this builds a child's confidence and self-esteem and makes them feel more worthy and that they also have something to give.
And what are you taking with you today?
The spirit of the people who work with the children. Children, I know, are always worthwhile. Children are filled with love and laughter, and there always is a future of good development if they are given the right start and nurture.
Well, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for making this possible, and thank you for believing in the future of South Africa.
It's a great pleasure.
We've just washed some kiddies' feet here, and I've got a partner sitting next to me. Kaya, you are a spiritual dancer, and you're staying in Blikkiesdorp.
Yes, staying with you. Right in the ground level, one of three things. I started dancing when I was small already, and I have two friends, and we were all our mothers started going at the church when it was still a tent, and God took us through, but we all love dancing really, because it's all glory to God.
You love Jesus, don't you? I can see that.
Oh, very much.
How long have you known him?
It feels like for me since I came out of my mother's womb. But my mother used to say I was a very faithful child, because every child is, when you have a lot of dreams, good dreams. And when my mother used to cry because life wasn't good for us, then I used to tell her, don't cry, because God will come through for us. And I don't know why I was like that, but time has moved on, and children don't stay the same. It's teenagers now, and yeah.
Has God come through for you?
Yes, always. He always does for me. You can always rely on him. Even though there is some trials and tribulations, I can always count on my God.
Some people always say that they can't wait to leave the area that they come from. You are from Blikkiesdorp, but good things happen in Blikkiesdorp as well, doesn't it?
Sometimes, yes. When people don't need to come here like you guys, that is the good thing that happen. And my pastor was one time preaching about getting out of a comfort zone. And I think that's really, like when I see like people, like it's so comfortable living in Blikkiesdorp. They never think about going places they never been, like Nigeria. They never think about it. But, you know, everything is possible.
And you volunteering here today, what does that mean for you?
I love to see God coming through for others, because I know how he came through for me.
And explain to me how it feels for you when you wash a child's feet.
It's like it's heartbreaking to see them, and really when I see people happy, it's just like when I see people sad, actually, it just breaks my heart. I want to like really do my best to make that person happy. So it makes me really heartfelt.
What will your message be to young people like yourself out there?
To just like give your heart to Jesus, because I think that's the better way. There's no other better thing than that, than giving your heart to Jesus. He's the only one who's going to take you through it. And we're going to stand at the gate of judgment when the day comes. Because young girls, we know it's not easy. How can you trust in God if my life is going like this? But never. You don't know how it feels, really. So just give your heart to Jesus. You never know, really. He will come through for you. I know everything's not going to be fine when you give your heart to Jesus. Nothing's going to go wrong. God says, all the trials and tribulations.
You inspire me today, so thank you for that.
Thanks.
What is your name?
Sky.
Sky, you got beautiful shoes today. And what color is it?
Pink. do you like pink?
And blue.
You like blue too. So what are you going to do with your new shoes?
I'm going to wear it. Because you must wear it if you're going to step in glass.
Mm-hmm. And have you had an accident on glass before? Oh, was it very soft? And now? Is it going to be better now?
Because they must wear the shoes.
I'm still here in Blikkiesdorp and I'm sitting here with the Pastor Peter Diesel Reynolds. Double barrel surname with a big heart. We are in a place which has a very, very special story. Would you mind to share that with me?
The early roots of what is actually called Symphony Way Park. The ground belongs to the Airports Company, actually. In 2010, when we had the Soccer World Cup, you will remember that there were a lot of shacks that had just sprung up around the airport area. So the government were a little embarrassed about it. They didn't want international visitors to see that. So they got Airports Company permission to use this little end triangle of the plot. So they were given this piece of ground, and the government then put up their own shacks with a galvanized outer and a roof. Four houses in a group with the central toilets, and each had a one water point outside, and they could have one electrical point inside. And it is 980 meters by about 390. I know because we've measured that out, we've paced it out, we've done prayer walks around here so many times. And at one stage, it really was as much as 12,000 people here when we first got involved 10 years ago. People were promised that they would just be a temporary and they'd soon go into the RDP house. And some people have been here for 14 years and they're still here. And so we got involved just over 10 years ago, or just on 10 years ago, by absolute chance. I had heard in my heart, I'd started a youth ministry for underprivileged. We were at that stage doing a lot of black kids from the Monlinson area. But we were doing soup kitchens down the road from where we are right now. And God just said, Matthew 25, he said, I need you to go feed my sheep. So we went down there. I had a wonderful restaurateur. He provided us with 50 litres of soup, 2 25-litre buckets. And we came to do soup kitchen ministry. But we weren't here, we were in Delft. And it just wasn't going well. And I knew, this is not where God wants us to be. And my youth minister at the time said to me, Pastor, let me just show you something. And I packed the suit back into the van. And we came down to Blikkiesdorp. I drove in the gate, we turned. And as I entered, I looked and looked around me. And I had this just divine feeling come over. I mean, I just knew. I got out of the car, my foot touched the ground. I felt the anointing. Anyway, so I turned my back to the car, lifted up the back of the Jeep, and I started packing bread. Could take it out of packets, put it into forward in a pile. And I turned back to look behind me, because I wasn't watching what was going on. There were about 50 adults and 50 children, all waiting with their little Rama buckies, because they didn't have.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
And I saw that, and I want to tell you something, I was blown away. I was absolutely, I just looked. And I mean, the love of God just flooded through me, and I said, guys, wow, we're in the right place. We always preach first, and then fed afterwards. Yeah. So I preached the message, gave an altar call that we did every single week, twice a week. And so people started getting saved. And God told me, started whispering in my ear, so I need you to plant there. But it was definitely the voice of God, I'm not joking. And I had a bit of a struggle with it. And one day, it was just, I kept on hearing it so strong in my spirit. That there where you see the cross standing on the stage, that's exactly where my plastic table used to stand. I finished, I preached the message, I prayed for sick. I told the team, go ahead and feed. And I walked away and I walked down the road. Tears flowing down my eyes, and I said, Lord, I'm a pre-94 white man, male, are these people even going to accept me as a pastor? And as I said that, the Holy Spirit got the angels, and they rustled up about 10 or 12 little kids. And as I'm walking down the road having this conversation with the Lord, and literally in my heart, and as I said, but will even accept me as a pastor. These little kids came running out shouting, "Pastor, pastor, pastor, pastor." And they all hugged me. I felt like a queen bee. And the Lord said to me, "Do you have any other questions?" And I said, "No, Lord." The strange thing, because there's not a funny thing, it's a strange thing, interesting point. Afterwards, we were driving back from here, and the Lord whispered to me, he said, "You know, I've asked three people before you, and they've all rejected the call." And so we went from there to getting permission to put up a very big tent here, maintaining a tent in the Cape Town weather is not easy. It perished eventually. And so then we started putting pressure on government and writing letters to put up a steel roof and then to get permission to put up walls, and we had plans drawn. And anyway, cut a long story short, you know how lovely this facility is compared to what's outside of it. And this is what you get when you sow a cup of soup.
Indeed it is. And this is also where we had a very special event with Samaritan's Feet today. Tell me about the whole experience for you.
I keep getting these feelings at times like this because God surprises me all the time. Every single year he surprises us with something. And I'd heard they had come here last year. I wasn't available at the time. I happened to be in Sirius with the radio station. And they'd had a good time. And I said, when I heard they were doing it again, I said, I need to be there. So give me the exact date, time, everything. I want to know. And Geraldine, our assistant pastor, her and Abby, assistant pastors with us, they did all the planning. And every time I see God move in such a way, and the gentleman, his story was so moving because I've seen what happens when an intervention like this comes into the community, and it happens quite often. You can see how they get touched. I look at our kids every single year. We sponsor all our grade R's who have been faithful in them, attendance, because we don't charge any kid for being here. We sponsor them into school. We pay their first year school fees. We buy the uniforms. We buy the stationery, little backpacks. And we have a graduation ceremony for them where their parents come. And it's an excellent time to do outreach because every time we get the parents here, of course, I preach the gospel and I make altar call before we carry on. And then they get their uniform handover. And I've seen the faces when they get their uniforms. And, I get tears in my eyes. I do. I get all teared up quite often. My heart just melts sometimes when I see their faces. To illustrate the point, which I think will round this point off beautifully, I arrived at church about a month ago. And there's a young boy who looks maybe 10, 11. And an older lady standing with a packet. And my wife and I stopped inside the church. He came to me and said, "Hello, Pastor." He said, "Pastor, I've got something for you. So does my granny." I said, "Okay, what's that, my boy?" And he gave me an envelope with a note in it. A picture of himself and a note that said, "Dear Pastor Sonia," and I think he said, "Uncle Pastor Peter" or something like that. He said, "You put me into grade one. Look, this is my photo. I'm in grade five now." And he was so excited about it. And that just wraps it up. You get one story like that. Today, praying for the kids, a chance to get all the kids together in a moment, in an atmosphere where there is a ton of Christians together who are praying, who are working in agreement. So you literally, you are practicing out in practice the prayer of agreement, although we did pray all together. And the Holy Spirit was moving as I was praying for kids, and as we were getting their feet washed, I was laying hands on each child. And what a pleasure, as a shepherd, if you think of what Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And Peter went fishing. And so Jesus went to wait for him and had the same model of meeting as he did when he called Peter. The side of the lake, and he said, "Come here, Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know I love you." First thing he said, "Feed my lambs." Then he said, "Feed my sheep." Now, if you go back in Jesus' ministry, there was a time where he was blessing children, laying hands on children, and they said, kids are busy, you saw today, these little guys, you have to really keep your hand on them. And I can imagine the same kind of thing was happening there, and the disciples, I can imagine, Peter and John are there, trying to stop the kids from pushing to Jesus. The prayer that I was praying over every child was the prayer of salvation. That Lord, at this point, they will feel your love and know your love forever, that they'll never forget this moment. And of course, plead the blood over them, with the blessings around them like a shield. No weapon formed against them will ever prosper, and I call their future successful. So to be able to pray for whatever, I think my wife prayed on this side, I prayed on that side. I'm not sure how many kids we had, they couldn't tell me. I think about 160 in total. But it always moves my heart. It moves me big time. Because things that happen in children's lives, I go back and I think of my own life. There's certain things that happen that you'll never forget. And that was just what happened today, just a duplication of the founder's testimony.
This is a center, a haven for kids and families to come. Tell me more about what's happening here.
Well, the first thing we try to create is that, number one, is a safe space. Because, you know, IP is not safe. The kids who get to 6 years old have seen it all. So we create this space that can be a happy place. So, and I've told the teachers, this is your main drive. You're to show the heart and the love of God, the fact that the father, the word father means loving person, because when they first get here, father's not such a cool image in their minds, because of, you can imagine what happens. So we make it a happy place for them. We want them to know that every morning when they get fed and every afternoon they have lunch, that's God that's providing that food for them. And it really is, right now, we used to get at our homework clubs in the afternoon 20, maybe 30 people. Kids do come to a homework club because we provide lunch too for them when they come in. But we're now up to over 100, because those kids that we put into from grade R to grade 1 have now gone up to their kid, like sent me the letter, in grade 4 and 5. And so they're coming to homework club and their marks are improving. And so it really is what we try to create here, a safe place and an example of what your future should look like in God's eyes. And that's why, as you heard me say it publicly today, and I tell it all the time, when you leave this building, guys, look outside and tell yourself, this is not my future. This is not what God has in store for me. So I want them to associate the church with what their future should look like, what God has in plan for them. And God's a loving God, and he's a God who's Jehovah Jireh. He's your provider. He wants to love you. He wants to provide for you.
What's in the vision for this project, Stoll?
That's a very good question to ask somebody, because you're asking someone who is a believer. You're asking someone who has had an Abrahamic journey up until now, that God didn't reveal in the beginning exactly what this place would look like. We have church online that goes out every single week. We've developed a 4-camera system already. There's 3 steady cams, 1 roving cam. I've got youth that are training, that are doing camera work. We have 30,000 followers on our church online. And what I do is I like to look at the through place, not just the views. Because sometimes you can get like 60,000 views. But our through place, people who watch from start to finish, is averaging now on the low side, sometimes 12,000 to 13,000. And we've tipped out to 27,000 of people watching this from start to finish. So the vision for the future is, a lot of my youth, my kids, I have one camera kid who's 12 years old. She's an absolute little star. Whatever she does, just turns to gold. She's got this such a diligent nature. Is to grow the camera team, to the AV team, as we call the audiovisual team, to do more outreach in that way. Locally, we have a digital footprint, but perhaps to develop a second one from here, to talk to local people, to get messages onto the net, into the kids' hands. Every kid today ends up with a phone, so we can put the message in their hand and really affect their lives, not with religious talk, but take real life issues and real life testimony from what has happened to us here and affect them, then I believe that's the way God wants us to go. As far as the growth of the church continues, it's something I've had to get used to. We grow the church, we fill up the church, and then 50, 40 people, the families, will leave, so there goes like 100 folk. And then we build up again, because some new people come in. So I have this ever-evolving face in the church, because they come and they wait, and some of them get their houses and they leave. But that's also okay. If you remember Samson, when he defeated the Philistines, he said, how am I going to get to them? He took the foxes and he lit their tails and set them alight and set them on fire. And he said, now go run through the fields. And I've kind of seen that happening here. People are coming, they're getting, fully, comprehensively saved, born again, full of the Spirit of God, and then God's placing them out. So there's a lot of satisfaction in that. What God will do building-wise, when eventually, this wasn't even supposed to go on that long, when Airports Company eventually do get to build the second runway, they're going to have a very strong problem. They've put in little stakes and danger tape, and they marked off plots on Airport Company ground. And then each family was given a plot, and they went to these ready-made built houses that you can see on the side of the road. So there's another community that has happened, as big as this one, on the other side of the fence. So I think we're going to have a tough time when it gets time to, and I'm sorry to use the strong word, evict, because that's what I think it's going to get to. How do you get that of people to leave? Because they're taking so long in their decision to execute the second runway, whether they are or not. But now there is, on that side, there's about 5,000 people, and behind us there's another 5,000. So what eventually happens to us in this building, I absolutely have no idea. If Airports Company do clear the grounds and want to build, I'm hoping we can sell this building to them. They can use it in some way. And with that, we'll go and rebuild somewhere else. But apart from that, what's the future in the vision? Do the will of God, one step at a time, as He shows us.
What are the biggest challenges here?
Well, number one for us was to prove our sustainability and to prove our loyalty. Because a lot of organizations will run in here on Mandela Day, as an example, these 67 minutes or whatever it is, and they'll hand out little plastic bags of food, make sure somebody takes a selfie of them handing out the food. They'll tick the box and say, oh, look what a good evangelist I was today. Well, I was a missionary today. And they tick the box and they run away. And I get so freaked out sometimes, I want to tell people, go away. Don't bother. Because so many organizations have come and gone and come and gone. Praise God for hope. They've been stable and they've stuck it out. And so the community know what they're all about. And we stuck it out. And so the longer we hear, the more the reputation has grown. But the challenges so we've kind of overcome that initial challenge. We accepted as pastors, as who what we do, both of us. And we've had the joy of anointing and into ministry a pastoral couple that went to Bible school from here. One of the biggest problems in any impoverished place is jealousy, the Jezebel spirit. Is so rife, and it's so horrid, and it's so strong, and so destructive, that they will literally kill for it. Which is not an easy thing, come on, it's not for any of us to die to soul.
Well, thank you so much for your time. It's just an amazing community, and it was really special. Well, we have a very interesting day here at Blikkiesdorp, and we're currently here at Ground Table Ministries. And we just basically finished where we distributed shoes to different people. And I'm sitting here with one of the very important role players with me. And it's Ursula Falkus. She also has her own organization, which we will talk about a little bit later. But first of all, I want to congratulate you on organizing such a smooth running event.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I think that's my calling, events planning and organizing, because I'm always doing something like that in the community. So I'm born and bred in Woodstock. All my life I was in the inner city. And then Gimpy City's residents had to move up. They wanted us out, and then they moved us to Blikkiesdorp. But before it was Blikkiesdorp, I think it was Bush of Evil. That was this place before. We always read about it in the paper, not knowing one day we would actually end up here. So there was a promise made to us that 6 months, we will get houses. 13 years later, we're still here. There is a project currently running, AXA project, with the city in Symphony Way. So the project started this year only. So it's still a long road to really say there's a real promise, but we are seeing progress in that promise.
How has things changed in 13 years here in Blokkiestoor?
When we came here, there wasn't a lot of blocks, but I think A block and B block was already done, and P block with Q block. So there was blocks missing, there was still building. There was no electricity. Now you must imagine, we come out of houses, not even backyard dwellers. We came out of flats, and we had to fight with the city because we're not going to stay this long without electricity. Within 2 months, they switched on the electricity for us. So then Blokkiestoor was still in the developing part stages where they started to still build more structures. So in that 13 years, a lot of things has happened. 7 years ago, my husband was shot by a stray bullet on a Sunday afternoon, 12:15. I cannot forget it, 15th of September 2015. That's when my whole life actually changed, everything. Because I had a three-year-old and I had a six-year-old that just went to school. It's his first year in school, and my three-year-old. And my husband was a breadwinner at the time. And then 2 weeks after that, I came to church. That's when I found Ground Level Ministries. At the time, it was still a tent. It wasn't a building. Can you imagine? It was a tent. But before, I think, say a year prior to that, it was a big white tent. But after my husband died now, it was a small grey army tent before this whole building happened. So I'm here from the start with the building. That's where it comes in. And I think that's where my growth started. You know, by coming to church, spiritually you will grow. So now I'm lost. I'm completely lost. Just lost my husband. I've got 2 kids. And I need to see to those kids. And I just felt like, yo, what now? How now? You know? Eventually I found myself in church. Changed my whole life. Gave my heart to Jesus. I done it when I was 18. You know, backslider, back into the world and doing your own thing because you didn't have spiritual support at that time. But I also think I'm more matured now. I grew. And then 2018 hit when Blokkiestoor Mascara happened. It was very, very bad. A lot of innocent people died. Where the community members stood up, so-called community leaders, and they said they want to get out all the thieves that's breaking in. But it wasn't about that. It was clearly evilness, plain sight evilness. I was then mob justice because I couldn't keep my mouth, you know. I'm just that type of woman. What you're doing is wrong. You have already killed most of the people. Now you want to torture us. And I opened my mouth and I said, look here, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not going to stand here and allow you to do whatever you want to with me. I'm not going to allow this because this is unfair towards us. By saying that, actually my cousin, they came and they bundukot him, and when I ran out of the house, I saw him lying on the ground and they literally had pangas eating him. I don't know where I got the strength, but Ursula's being Ursula, and she caught up in the middle and she started to fight with him. The police were standing, you know, watching what these people is doing and not doing anything. And at that time, I don't know what went through my head, but I just started to fight with him back. And that's when the police also came in. So still have a lot of injuries. Winter time, I can't really get out of my bed because of the internal pains that I have. But thank you, Lord, you use my body. My cousin is still alive, although part of his face is disfigured. He had a long stay in hospital, and then they wanted to burn me out. And I had to leave, and I had to leave my children behind with my parents at the time. And I went to go live on the street in my car. I was in Sea Point, favorite place on the beachfront. So that's where I used to sleep in my car. And when I wanted to get into the system put me under a bridge, Kulenberg. At the time, you had to sleep outside. So you were given a pallet, a body bag, and a blanket under open bridge. That's what you were given. and you had to sleep there. The only reason why I went into the system because the safety. And I often college to sleep in my car here because they would pay people to take care of people that are sleeping outside, literally. So law enforcement was employed. There was two containers for the people that looked after the people. They could sleep inside, but you could sleep outside. Now, in the heart of winter, just imagine, you had to find your own plastic. And the rats ran over you, and I just couldn't handle it. I still remember June, July, when the winter hits you. And I decided, no, I'm just going to leave here. I can't anymore. I cried myself to sleep most of the nights. Because at the time, I was working in the harbor for Saudi, being a contractor there as a safety watch. So now you can imagine, I don't have a place to stay, working nights, just 12 hours. And then I would just get into my car, drive all day, boop, I'm out. And the amazing part was my friends would never know what I'm going through. I always made excuse, oh, the water is off there where I'm staying now, can't they bought me here? But God was so amazing. Every day I would have a cooked meal. I would bath with warm water. But I just didn't have a place to stay. But I understood it. Many times I wanted to lose hope and say, no, this is not the type of God that I'm serving. You can't do this. But I had to understand, this is where I found my calling. That's how I found my calling. And then Pastor Peter, being Pastor Peter, said, Ursula, you can come back home. And I said, me, Pastor, I will never go back to that place. Not after what all that people did to me. I can't deal with it. They took everything away from me. I mean, they took my own. My kids had to be away from me. I was allowed only to come on a Sunday to church in Takisol. And then I had to leave again. That is what the community leaders of this place, that is what they allowed me to do. But it was fine. I was still being me. And then they wanted me to apologize to them in public. And I said, what? The word of God says, you shall not bow down to any god but God. So I refuse to do that. I don't care. And that's the day when Pastor Peter actually found out that I was mob justice. I think he did. Can I say the word? He turned pink like a pig because he was in shock. Because I never told him what happened to me. And then, that's before he told me to come home when things started to subside and, you know, moving away from it. And eventually, my mom got a house and then I went to stay by my mom. Amazingly, my mom hasn't done anything to me. But I just couldn't stay with her because I was so used to staying on my own. I was a married woman. And then, place was still open, but I lost all my furniture. There was nothing in that place. I didn't even have a proper mattress. And then the Holy Spirit kept on, you're going to go back. And then I came back. I had two very thin mattresses with my children sleeping on the floor. And I got a casual job. That's how I bought me a bed. And that's how I got back with my kids. I'm still trying to revive somehow, getting my own furniture and things. But besides that, to me, material things doesn't matter anymore for what I went through, having nothing at all. So to me, that means nothing. And then Catalyst Wookie was birthed inside of me when I came back to this place. I've got a very close relationship with Sonny Philander, and he was the guy that helped me when I was living on the streets. And he found me a private donor to help me for 6 months to support my children with 2,500 rand. And I was like, whoa, how can someone just give you something like that? But what I didn't know, that God's hand was all the time in this. So that's how I could see to my kids, buy the groceries every week. I could manage the money every week and come and bring it to them. So when I moved back to Blakisdo, I started the soup kitchen. And then the food just started to follow me. And people started to call me, we've got a few things we wanted handed out. And I'm like, okay, yes, I'll do this. And from there, the kitchen was birthed first. I started the soup kitchen at my house. We're currently feeding 250 to 300 people standing in the queue. That's what I'm feeding now. And besides that, then I started with workshops with women abuse, you know. I'm doing Christmas parties for the seniors, working with the kids, doing cleanup projects with them, and also teaching them about themselves and what they need to appreciate. So it goes bigger than that even, and much more deeper, because now we go back into education as well. So I'm a lot involved with different projects and different organizations that is taking me by my hand and helping me to grow. And then I started to go to a few workshops, and that's when I started to learn, you need to register, ma'am. And that's how I registered Catalyst for Care. We have a registration number. And Samaritan Feet, actually, it's our second time working together. The first time, we actually did it bigger than this, where we did our community, and we had about 670 pair of shoes was handed out to Prakaso. This time, we did it for ground level projects, which was the Krish, God Love Church. That is the Krish name. And then I form a co-op with the church, so whatever project I do it with the church. Because they avail the building for me, come in and do workshops and those type of things. So that's how we got a co-op. And you can't work alone, otherwise you're on an island. So now I'm just growing, and more people is coming in my midst and wanting to invest into the community. And that's important, makes you feel good. I've got like young people at work. I don't know if people heard about them, Frank Julie, very close to my heart. I've got two books of him to help me. He's got a leadership book and a fundraising book that he gave to me. And also I've just completed my 8-week computer course, and he's just investing so much in me. He's got Fraza also, which is a food relief fund. And from December onwards, they will start helping me. So yeah, Frank plays a very big role in my life as well, because he's investing a lot into me, in educating me, and also all the workshops that I'm attending. So I can just be grateful to God for all the people that he's placing in my life. I don't know how I got there, but I just got there, you know? So my message out there for people, there is hope. I found myself in a hopeless situation. And when the Lord showed me that there is hope, don't look at your current situation. These people are worse off than you. And always give a hand of love, kindness, and help other people. And that's how he will help you. And that's what I'm out of my life. I don't think I'll ever want to stop doing this. Because waking up in the morning, okay, this is now at least I've learned. Okay, this is what I do today, that's what I do tomorrow, that's the next day. Before, I could just do anything. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to just, you run around. I mean, I'm 40 years old, I can sit on a computer. You can tell me whatever you want, I can go and do it. I never thought I could do it. I'm a dropout. I left school at a grade 10, mid-June, exams. I don't want to go to school anymore. That's what I done. So I was a naughty girl back in the days. I had my own lifestyle. But also the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and as you grow, God opens your eyes to new things, better things, and how you want to live your life. You see? It's through your eyes. It's always to me. What makes me the happiest person is when I can help someone else. In spite of my situation, in spite of my circumstances, it doesn't define who I am. And that's why I want to give hope to everybody out there. You can do this. While I'm busy growing and grooming myself, I want to give it back to you so you can also do this. I mean, Black is Up is a hopeless situation if you look at it out there. What is there for anybody? We have to live in a terrible condition that we can't live in. No human being or child should be reared in a place like this. Nobody deserves this. But there is hope. And that's what Catalyst for Care is there for, hope.
And this is what we saw here, three organizations actually working together, your own, your company that you formed, and we worked with Peter on the ground level ministries, and Samaritan's Feet, South Africa, came together here, took hands, and a wonderful special gift of shoes happened. What was your experience today here?
It was just so amazing if you look at the little children's faces when they got the new shoes. They cling to it. They put their shoes on immediately. Yes, I got new shoes. It was so exciting. And you know what? The warmth that you feel in your heart when you see that happy face. You just did something so special. And it's not just about the shoes. It's about the message behind the shoes. That's so important for me. I had opportunity to meet the founder, which was Manny, and his story touched me deep. If I look at my story, where I come from, and the growth beyond when you look at the sky. The sky is the limit where you can go to. So it just broadened my mind and the hope for those little kids and the prayer that was said over them. So as they will grow and into what they will grow, I just know it's going to happen for them. And that is the exciting part of it. It was strange for them because it's not normally done for them, you know. We've got a lot of absenteeism parents in our community. We have to be realistic what is happening in Blikkenshof. A lot of the parents, they're there, but they're not there. So that kid, 4 or 5 years old, you're already doing your own thing. And today, we made them feel so special because they asked, can you have your feet? Can you have your feet? And I'm like, okay, am I supposed to sit like this? Did you check the eyes?
Yes, I did.
Like, okay.
It's like doubt and, you know, like, it's okay, but...
What you doing?
Yeah.
It's normally just putting on. It's fine. Yes. But now, washing the feet, looking in their faces, and having a conversation with them, you know? So that was the nicest part. Now they started to trust you. And then you started to see that smile unfold. And when you put that shoes in their feet, they're like, oh! And you're just like, wow! That wow thing. Look at my new shoes. The old shoes is almost like they want to leave it there and say, no, you got to pick it up. You take it with you home because now they got new shoes. And most of the children that was here today are children that, well, like I said, they don't always get the opportunity to wear a new pair of shoes. And I'm grateful for Samaritan Feet for coming the second time in and actually doing this because this is huge to our children. This is huge to me because I know what is happening in this community. Mm-hmm. I know the ins and outs. So the same kids that come stand in the queue for food when I do the feeding, and now I can imagine to me Monday when they come and stand with all the new shoes on. Everyone will probably take a lap in my wife, the shoes will go into a direction.
But it also symbolizes new faith and a new future. And I think that's what I'm taking with me today, meeting all of you, the actual heroes of the Cape Flats. You guys are making a difference. You stay here when other people leave, and you keep on fighting. May God bless you. May He guide you, because He made you a leader. You are there. You are the person that have the respect of the community. And only change can happen once you have that respect. And God gives one authority. And may you use it wisely to the benefit of the people. And I believe you will, because I know it's embedded in your heart.
Matt, I receive that, yes. I'm a people's person. I've always been one as a young person. And I think the people know that I try to be as fair as possible as I can be. That's why I try my best, or if I need to explain to you something, if you don't understand, I'll even go out of my way to do that. Because when you come to the Lord, you learn how to humble yourself. And that is amazing, because that's your foundation. You know, when you can humble yourself. And I've learned it from my pastor as well. I know he's got his own company, business, he's my pastor, he's my mentor. But when he comes in here, he humbles himself. And that's very important, and he shows love. He shows the fruit of the Spirit, love, the kindness. He's got all of that. And to be under His teaching and His anointing, it's got to flow through you if you're obedient. I mean, I would have never had birth catalyst, okay, if I was still up there. Just thinking, okay, whatever. Whatever happened to me, it happened, and I don't care anymore. But God. But God. I'm so grateful that God chose me first. None of my family, from my parents, they're not saved. My brothers and my sisters are not saved. Thank you, Lord. They will be saved. I'm standing in the gap for them. Because God chose me. And not just for them, but for everybody else out there that comes in contact with me. They're my family too.
Amen to that. Thank you so much for receiving me here with such open arms, making the time to chat to me. And I've learned a lot from you today. Thanks for that.
Thank you so much. So thank you for allowing me to be part of your journey.
Ek dink ek is baie bevoorreg, want ek sien wat plaasvind en hoe die Here klein goedjies vat en wonderwerke daarmee doen. En dit versterk my geloof verskriklik baie. Ek hoop dat jou nou ook in die proses van ons saamreis nuwe betekenis begin kry vir jou, dat die Here sien jou raak. Hy ken jou hart en hy weet wat jou behoefte is. Hier het ons nou vandag by werklik van die armstes van die armes 'n draai kom maak. Maar hierdie mense lag nog. Hulle het nog drome en hulle gaan ons nuwe leiers van môre wees. En hulle geloof staan onwrikbaar. Wat 'n mens bietjie laat skaam kry soms, want kla ons nie baie keer net te maklik nie. Maar ek is nie hier om vir jou te preek nie. Ek wil net vir jou dankie sê dat jy saam met my gereis het. Ag, laat my weet waar jy is en hoe ons by jou kan kom kuier om ook jou gemeenskap aan 'n groter luistertaal bekend te stel. En hoe doen jy dit? Jy stuur 'n e-pos na gilma@kpulpit.co.za en dan gaan ons daar kom kuier en reageer daarop. Andersins kan jy altyd vir ons kontak by 021-9177-000. Petula is aanstuur daar en sy sal seker maak dat ons die boodskap kry. Andersins wil ek jou ook herinner as jy nou die program nie heeltemal kon luister nie. Hy word herhaal op 'n Sondag tussen 1 en 3 en net daarna word hy op potgooi beskikbaar gestel vir jou om af te laai soveel kere as wat jy wil. Dankie vir die saamreis, 'n lekker dag verder, mooi loop, totsiens.
Hierdie inset was aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.